is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
Welcome to Rogue Talk. This is the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for March 24th, 2017. So happy to have you here today, and I hope you enjoyed last week's replay. I couldn't make it in live last week, but we thought that the things we talked about with Principal Jamie Wright from the high school were still all very pertinent, so we put that replay out there for you. I hope you enjoyed that and were able to gain some insight into what's going on at the high school, and that's actually going to be a lot of what we're going to talk about today. A couple of things in the news related to the schools are the continuing work toward securing the Chieftain mascot. There's been some developments in that, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, not just about what the latest development is, but also kind of the general idea of this, and I'll give you my opinion of what I think about this whole process that's been going on for several months, actually probably over the course of a couple of years now that this has been going on. So we'll talk a little bit about that, and we will also talk a little bit about the bond measure. Of course, the previous bond measure failed in the most recent election, and the school district and the school board will be putting a bond on the upcoming May ballot. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that and get into, again, we're going to go a little deeper on that, not just about the specific measure and what I think about that, but also some of the things going on in the district over the last couple of years and why it's giving me I'm a little torn on this one, and so I won't get into that right now, but we're going to talk about that. So we got a couple of good subjects to talk about on today's show. I don't have a guest for you today. I know before the May election, we will definitely get a guest or maybe even two to talk about the bond measure and get into it into more detail. But today I just want to give you some of my thoughts of things going on with the school and the school district. And also, it's hard for me to ignore what's going on in the national news right now. And of course, if you were listening to the top of the hour news, you heard that the GOP healthcare bill has been pulled and is not going to pass. And I don't know if you heard the soundbite at the top of the hour, but the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, you know, sounding a little perturbed and a little put off. And it's kind of a funny thing because the only people that actually supported this bill were the GOP, lockstep GOP supporters. The more conservative wing, which is a huge part of the GOP, was not in favor of this, and nor were the Democrats for that matter. And not that the GOP really cares what the Democrats think, although they should. But he was sounding a little perturbed there. And, my comment to him would be, this is your job. You know, you don't get your way all the time when you're pushing for something. And in this case, you know, this something is just a watered down, weak version of what you had promised your voters. There's a lot of people that put you into those offices that were promised an awful lot. And frankly, this bill just doesn't deliver. And it doesn't cover any of the things that they really promised, or at least very little of it. And frankly, because they said, well, there'll be more parts to this that will pass later, you sound just like, you know, Nancy Pelosi did when they passed the Affordable Care Act, when she said, well, you'll have to pass the bill so you can find out what's in it, which, you know, of course, we all found ridiculous. Even those that supported it thought that was a ridiculous statement. But this is basically the same thing. Well, give us this, you know, dumpster fire of a bill, and we'll fix it with some other bills afterwards. Well, you know, that to me, that's just a lazy way to be a lawmaker, and you know, he can get on radio and TV and whine all he wants about it. I stand behind the conservative wing of the party that said, no, we're not going to do it this way. And, you know, if he wants to put his tail between his legs and run away, you know, that's fine. You can answer to your voters in your district come, you know, the next election. So, hopefully I was clear how I felt about that one, but I think most of us are probably relieved that this is not going to pass. Whether you like Obamacare or you don't, this bill was not the way to repeal it. And it really wasn't going to repeal it. It was just going to kind of put it into pieces. And it, in my estimation, it could have been worse than what we have right now. So if they're not going to do it right, you know, then don't do it all and get out of the way and let someone that wants to lead. And, you know, as long as we're talking about this, you know, in the videos and the pictures we've seen with the leadership of the GOP, you know, we've seen a lot of one of our local representatives, Mr. Walden, and I give Greg Walden all the credit for his work with the veterans and the things that he focuses on to help his state. But frankly, his closeness to the leadership in the GOP is a little concerning. And it shows in some of his votes. You know, I'm not pushing for, you know, let's get him out of there and all that. You know, that's something that, you know, could happen down the road. But I'm not saying, you know, let's get him, run him out of town. But it is a little concerning. It concerned me when he was, you know, sidling up to Boehner when Boehner was the leader of the GOP in the House. And, you know, he's moved up the chain now that Boehner's gone. And I don't trust the leadership in the GOP right now. I don't trust the leadership in the Democrat Party for that matter. I think there's a lot of good members on both sides that are there to help the country and to do the best for their district. They don't sit in the leadership seats, at least not from my vantage point. So something to keep an eye on. I know there's a lot of people in this area have mixed feelings about Representative Walden, and time will tell. I hope that he falls on the side of his constituents and not on continuing his move up the leadership chain. So we'll see how that works out. So let's get to some little lighter news, moving to the city of Rogue River. The Rogue River Police Department is closer than ever to the addition of a canine unit. I was able to confirm with Kaylin Honey at the City Hall today that the City Council last night approved the addition of a canine unit. This canine unit will be a drug sniffing dog, not an enforcement dog. Chief Snyder decided to pursue the sniffing dog because the Rogue River Police Department is averaging 2 to 3 drug arrests every week. And in a small town like this, that's a big deal. And I know it firsthand. If you watch the recent police ticker has started showing up again in the paper and on Facebook. It had been absent for a while, but it's back there. And I don't know if I've mentioned it here before, but there's an awful lot of activity happening at a certain residence on Broadway Street. And I'm not going to get into the address. You can look it up on the police ticker if you want to see what it is. But this is not too far from where I live. And I've noticed the difference of this apparent flop house on Broadway Street. The amount of unsavory foot traffic that goes up and down Broadway Street in the last couple of years has made a marked increase, and it's very noticeable. And so maybe because a lot of these folks that they've been arresting up at this address on Broadway have been on warrants, many of them drug warrants, and often when they're apprehended, they have drug paraphernalia, that maybe having this dog is going to help. And according to the Rogue River Press, the city manager, Mark Regals, as well as police chief Snyder, had been consulting the Central Point Police Department about their experience because they recently added a police dog. And my iPad is failing me here. Let's see if we can get that back up here, get my notes up here. And so in talking to the Central Point Police Chief, Chris Allen, she said that their dog, Mattis, has been a great addition to the department. She noted that not only is the dog great with the public and it can interact with the public because it's not a law and not an enforcement dog, but it is just a sniffing dog. But it's also been a great morale booster to the department. Even when it's off duty, has brought a new vigor to their department with the dog being around and lifting people's spirits. So getting a positive report back from Central Point, the Chief Snyder decided to pursue the idea with the city council, and it was approved last night. And so this dog should arrive in a few weeks. The dog will be paired with Officer Nate Stoller, primarily because he has experience with MADGE, which is the Medford Area Drug and Gang Enforcement Task Force. And that was a mouthful. And so he's well suited for that job. And so for a cost of just over $8,000, the police department will get the dog and the trainer will come to get the department up to speed with the proper use and technique of use with the canine. And the canine will be coming from the Pacific Coast Canine. That's an outfit out of Washington State. So good news for the police department getting this canine unit. I look forward to meeting the dog and maybe we'll even get him in here on Rogue Talk with Officer Stoller. So we look forward to that. So other things going on. Last week, I was asked to MC the first annual Booster Club Air Band Competition and Date Night. And that was last Thursday, a week ago, at the high school. And it was a fun night. Each class from the freshman class up to the senior class prepared air band competitions. And we did some raffles between each one of the performances. And even the faculty did a performance, and the highlight for me at least was their Def Leppard song that they did. And of course, Principal Jamie Wright was the Joe Elliott of the group, and only one mistake they made with the Def Leppard song was their drummer had two arms, so that was a little bit off. But other than that, it was a great performance, and it was a fun night. And so hopefully the Booster Club felt that was a success. It was a full house. They put on a great dinner, and we gave away some raffle items. And so hopefully that'll become a regular event for the Booster Club. And that's also served as a rehearsal for the air band competition, which took place the following day on Friday at the school. And the seniors who did a performance called Dancing Through the Decades, which I noted on Thursday night, made me feel really old, because all but one of the decades that they covered, I lived through. And the one that I didn't, I remember fondly because they did Elvis, which of course was mainly the 50s. And because my mother was a huge Elvis fan growing up, so I remember Elvis very vividly. But they started with the 1950s version of Elvis and moved on from there. And they won the competition, which gives them points toward the end of year trip that they're trying to earn with their spirit points. And of course, that will continue with throughout the rest of the school year, earning spirit points during their spirit weeks. And another highlight of Friday's competition at the school was the Kiss the Pig. They had, I guess they had change jars put out so you could vote on which faculty members had to kiss the pig. And the two winners were the vice principal and athletic director and friend of the show, Tom Grimes. And also Miss Kelleher, who's also been on the show back at the beginning of the school year as she was the cross country coach and came on the show. They were the winners of the Kiss the Pig, and I wasn't able to make it there, but the report back that I got was that Mr. Grimes was, who's probably pretty comfortable around livestock. He grew up on the in Northeast Oregon. He's been around ranches and whatnot most of his life, I believe, and so he had no trouble corralling the pig and kissing it. But Miss Kelleher apparently was a little more apprehensive, and apparently the pig took offense to her being apprehensive, and when she went to kiss the pig ran away. The pig said, "You're probably too cute to be kissing a pig anyhow, and I don't like that that you didn't want to kiss me, so I'm out of here." So it sounded like a fun time. I wish I could have been there on Friday, but the kids all had a great time, and the Booster Club event, of course, was a great time for all. And so hopefully that'll become an annual event for the Booster Club, because I think it came off as a big success. So let's move on to some sports news. This segment's going to run a little long, but either way, today with no interviews, you're only going to hear from me all hour. So doesn't matter which segment we do it in here. So the Chieftain baseball and softball teams kicked off their season over the last couple of weeks, and they both got wins against Riddle. Of course, the baseball game was right here on 94.3 The Bridge. It was an excellent come-from-behind victory, and it was the Chieftains came from behind in the fifth and sixth innings and took the lead, actually, in the sixth, and then surrendered the lead again in the top of the seventh, and then with a runner at third, Derek Pratt, and I believe there was nobody out, Jose Chavez laid down a squeeze bunt, went right back to the pitcher, but the speedy Pratt was able to get home ahead of the tag, and the Chieftains won in dramatic fashion. It was a great first game of the season for us on 94.3 The Bridge. And then in the second game of the season, we went over to Bulldog Field and covered the softball team, and they were able to win a close game with Gold Beach and improve their record to 2-0. And unfortunately for the boys, they lost their game against Gold Beach. I actually don't have the score in front of me, but so the baseball team moved to 1-1. The softball team is now 2-0. And all the games this past week were rained out. They were scheduled to go to Coquille on Saturday, and then they were going to move the softball game to Rogue River and the baseball team in Coquille. But the weather got so bad for Saturday that those games got canceled. And then because of the early morning rains on Tuesday, the games at Riddle were also canceled. And that was another situation where they considered moving the baseball game to Rogue River and having the softball game in Riddle. But the fields were just too wet. And then as the day went on, the rain came back. So it was just as well that the teams didn't make the travel, which would have been all for naught because it rained the rest of the night on Tuesday. So there'll be no games coming up this next week because of spring break. So we will give you the schedule for the next games when we get to next week's show. But all next week, there'll be no sports events for the Chieftains. Also starting in the last week or so was the track team. And they're in Bonanza today. In fact, I had entertained thoughts of heading to that meet, in which case the show wouldn't have been live today. Of course, the Rogue Talk mascot, my son Cameron, is on the track team, and we'll get to him in a minute. But with the weather being as bad as it was today, and even snow on the passes going over to Klamath Falls, I decided not to make the trip. And so we'll get a report on that meet on next week's show. But at the Crusader Invitational, the track team kicked off their season, and since Cameron is the Rogue Talk mascot, we'll focus on his day. And he, that was his first ever track meet. He's never ran track before. He's a sophomore, and he competed in the distance medley. And if you don't know what that is, basically it's a relay is obviously four runners. The first runner in the distance medley runs a 400, then an 800, then a 1200, than a 1600. And the Chieftains were quite a ways behind when it got to the anchor leg of the 1600. And now I get this description from Cameron, so it's probably exaggerated just a little bit, but the Rogue Talk mascot caught at least four varsity runners, as well as many of the JV runners, and salvaged a respectable sixth place finish for the Chieftains. And but the probably the best part, at least for the Rogue Talk mascot, is he established himself as probably the favorite on the Chieftain distance team. He ran an unofficial 414 mile in the, or I'm sorry, 514. Looking at something else here. An unofficial 514 mile. 414 would be pretty good. I think there'd be some colleges calling on him on that. But a 514 unofficial mile in the anchor leg. And I got to tell you, I was a pretty decent distance runner my senior year in school. I was actually better in the 2 mile than the mile. I never ran a 514, so I'm pretty excited for him. He's feeling pretty confident. We'll see how that turns out today. He's going to, sounded like he may have to run some events that he's not necessarily wanting to run, but he's going to do whatever the coaches ask him to do, and we'll see how it goes, and we'll see how it goes for the whole team. Of course, there's some pretty good seniors on that team, including Derek Pratt, who's doing double duty playing both baseball and running track. So we're looking forward to a good track season. Looks like the Chieftains even have some JV runners, which hasn't always been the case. So finally, in sports, the Chieftain golf team kicked off their season the past couple of weeks, and leading the way for the boys team, Evan Mingerhausen had a great first two tournaments. He had a 98 in his very first high school tournament, and he followed that up with an 86 at the Cougar Canyon tournament in Myrtle Creek. And so congratulations there to Evan. And leading the way for the girls team, junior Sophia Woodall notched a 9-hole 48 for the girls. So great job, Sophia, and we'll be rooting for you the rest of the season. And so it's great for the Chieftains to have a strong, strong golf team. And looks like they're looking for another great season. So that's all I've got for you in this segment. We'll take a quick break. And when I come back, we'll talk a little bit about the bond measure and the Chieftain mascot. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. The Bridge.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your station for Rogue River News, weather, and talk radio that matters. 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's start with the NCAA basketball tournament. Big upset last night as Xavier pulls off the stunner. The 11th seeded Musketeers hold on to beat number 2 Arizona 73-71 in the West Regional. Xavier guard Xavier Blewett.
It feels good, you know, just for one, just to be able to, you know, kind of get that, you know, revenge that we've been looking for. And two, just to make it to Elite Eight. I mean, it's been a while since, you know, the program has done it, and just to get back there is just a surreal feeling.
Gonzaga's game went down to the wire before the top-seeded Bulldogs pulled out a 61-58 thriller against West Virginia. Number 3 Oregon had trouble with Michigan but won 69-68. And the top-seeded Kansas Jayhawks had no trouble with Purdue. Second half of a 98-66 blowout win. Player of the Year frontrunner Frank Mason III poured in 26 points for the Jayhawks. This is SRN Sports. Moving on to your NBA action from yesterday, it was the Nets over Phoenix 126-98, Toronto 101, the Heat 84, Dallas beat the Clippers 97-95, Spurs 97, Grizzlies 90, and Portland beat the Knicks 110-95. In the National Hockey League yesterday, the Caps edged Columbus 2-1 in the shootout. Tampa Bay 6, Boston 3, Florida over Arizona by a 3-1 score. It was Carolina 4, Canadiens 1, Ottawa beat Pittsburgh 2-1 in the shootout. Toronto 4, Devils 2, Flyers over Minnesota 3-1, St. Louis 4, Vancouver 1, Nashville beat Calgary 3-1, Blackhawks over Dallas 3-2 in the shootout, Edmonton 7, Colorado 4, and the Kings beat Winnipeg by a 5-2 score. And in NFL news, the owners will consider several rules changes at the annual meeting next week in Phoenix, amongst the proposals cutting regular season overtime from 15 minutes to 10. This is SRN Sports.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And if you would like to call into today's show, that number you can call, 541-299-0498. Once again, 541-299-0498. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the upcoming school bond measure. And we're also going to talk about the school district trying to secure the Chieftain mascot as an approved mascot with the state and with the tribe. So if you have an opinion on either one of those, you're welcome to call in. Love to hear from you today. And if we get any callers today, the first two callers will win a $5 gift card from Rogue Express. So little incentive to call in if you have an opinion about either one of those subjects or you've got something else you want to talk about. I'd love to take your call. You can also email me at feedback@943thebridge.com. Just put Rogue Talk in the subject line and that'll get sent right to me. So we're happy to have you here today. And so let's talk about the bond measure a little bit. Of course, if you've listened to the previous shows, The first bond measure that failed, we talked about it here on Rogue Talk, and I was in favor of the bond, and I'm in favor of this one. However, I'm having some hesitation, and we'll get into that in a minute. But I do like public funding or local funding for the public schools. In fact, I would like to see a day where the federal government is completely out of it. They would probably have to block grant the funds in order to do that. Ideally, I'd rather see the state taxing for the schools and the federal government completely out of it altogether. I think that the more local the control is, the better the schools will be in almost all cases. I think they would be better off that way. But we can't control really what's going to happen at the federal level, but I'm all in favor of local funding, and I'm not crazy about the idea of property taxes, which is where this bond would go. And we talked about it before. It's unfortunate from the local level. We don't really have much influence on other ways of funding and getting those set up. Like, for instance, you know, I think maybe a sales tax would be a better way to fund things like this. But without a statewide sales tax, which we don't have here in Oregon, of course, it would be hard to do a local tax, a local sales tax. It would probably discourage a little bit of business. Depends on how big the tax was. May not be a huge effect, but it would be really costly to implement because there's no system already in place for collecting a sales tax. And so we don't have a lot of ability at the local level to change that setup. I would love to see, you know, property taxes go away. One of the reasons I don't care for property taxes, probably the main reason, is owning property is kind of essential to the freedom and liberty that this country was founded on. And the fact that a local it would be a local government can seize your house if you don't pay your property taxes is it's sort of, I mean, it hits you right at the heart of one of the the key parts of our freedom and our liberty in this country. And I would love to see property taxes completely eliminated. I'm not against taxation. There are definitely things that all levels of government should be doing, and we have to pay for that. But I just think the property tax is a horrible, horrible way to do it. But having said all that, again, I don't think we have really good alternatives to secure local funding without going through the property tax. Now, the previous bond was set to expire, and the new bond that didn't pass would have replaced that. It wouldn't have changed anybody's property tax bill. It just would have basically started a new bond. And there's apparently a lot of need at the schools for some upgrades. And again, we'll get into that more on a later show. Hopefully we'll have somebody representing either the school board or another entity that can come on and promote it here, and we'll talk about it. But the reason it came to mind for me to talk about it a little bit today is that there's been some troubling trends going on with the school, and so it gives me a little bit of pause in supporting giving them more money. Now, we've apparently got a caller on the line here, so let me take a break from my opinion here, and let's find out what our caller has to say. Welcome to Rogue Talk. Who am I talking to?
Thank you. This is Mike.
Yeah, Mike. Go ahead.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, we appreciate you calling. What would you like to say about this bond measure?
Well, nothing specifically about the bond measure. It's a little bit out of my district, so I whether favor or not. I am totally with you on the property tax issue. I know in my state, several years ago when we passed Proposition 13 and reduced the property tax rate from 3% to 1%, they did a complete disfavor to local schools and it resulted in severe funding cuts that could have been averted and matched what your opinion is, which is getting rid of property tax in their entirety, if they had just set the rate to 0 instead of 1%. So the other reason I'm totally against property taxes is you're taxing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And there's no reason for that. You can have a transfer tax when the property sells or changes hands, which would be similar to a sales tax on tangible goods, but to continually tax the same piece of property over and over again, I think it's just unfair.
Yeah, and you make a good point there, and it's the same reason that, like, for instance, capital gains taxes are lower than the normal tax rates, and I'm not a huge fan of capital gains, although there's some differences there, of course, but it's the same reason. It's because that money's already been taxed, and so you make a very good point. Yes, that it's being taxed over and over and over. And again, I don't know if you agree with my, my statement on that, but I think that's an attack on our property rights.
I agree with that also, yes.
Well, I appreciate you calling. I assume since you mentioned Prop 13, then you're from California, right?
I'm from very southern Oregon.
Very southern Oregon.
You might even say Northern California.
Well, we'll save that gift certificate to Rogue Express for when you make your next trip to northern southern Oregon. So, well, I thank you for calling in today, and thank you for joining me on Rogue Talk.
You're welcome. Talk to you later.
Okay. So that was Mike from California. And we appreciate him joining us today. That's and he makes a very good point there about the repeated taxation of a property tax. And it just is another reason that I'm torn in a lot of ways on this. But in one of the ways is because I just, like he said, I hate property taxes. But I feel like at this level, it's hard for us to pursue a different way of funding, but maybe there's people more creative than I that, you know, could come up with better ways. And it's going to hurt the schools. It, you know, as he mentioned, if they had changed that rate to 0% in California, it would have solved the problem. But because they made it 1%, it had a huge effect on the schools. And we're having the same thing here. The bond has expired. The new bond has failed. We're trying to get another bond going. But if it fails, the school has lost a source of funding that they had relied on. And, you know, it kind of goes to that same point that, you know, if you don't keep your funding, your methods of funding consistent, it can really hurt. And in a small district like Rogue River, you know, losing that additional funding is going to be a tough road to go for them. And so we'll have to see how it goes. Now, back to what I was getting to before the caller, the staffing at the schools has troubled me over the last couple of years. And without getting into any specifics, I'm troubled by the amount of turnover that we're having. The last couple of years has been quite a bit. There's been a lot of talk about curtailing that. Principal Jamie Wright, I know, is working her tail off to make that school environment the best that she can. You know, Tom Grimes came in with some great ideas to improve not only our sports programs, but to improve the feeling and morale at the school and make it a place where these teachers want to stay. But unfortunately, the word that I'm getting is we're looking at some big turnover again this year. And in fact, in the newspaper recently, we saw that Tom Grimes has turned in his resignation, and I'm assuming since he's still working that it's effective at the end of the school year. And I haven't had a chance to talk to Tom about that. Maybe we'll get him on the show again if he wants to, and if he doesn't, I don't blame him. It's a personal matter. But I'm seeing some troubling things happening not only at the school itself but within the district, most notably since the new superintendent took over. They made some changes at the district office, and they made some changes at the schools, and those changes didn't work out really well. People got moved, and then people finally were apparently asked to leave. You know, that's, of course, nobody will ever confirm that, but I've heard more than one report of more than one faculty member of one sort or another, whether they were administrative members or they were teachers or wherever they were serving, of people basically being told, look, we need you to resign or you're going to be let go. And it's a troubling trend. And in certain cases, it's kind of, you're kind of putting the blame or you're punishing someone who was hired that's not fitting in, yet you hired them, you interviewed them, and they're taking the fall for your mistake. You know, the district, and don't get me wrong, I the school board here has my full support. I'm close with at least a couple of members on the school board, and I have the utmost faith in them. I think they're doing a wonderful job. I think the school system in general is a very dysfunctional organization, and I don't mean locally. I mean in general. You have so many different entities that are all, they all claim to be there for the same reason, but let's face it, they all have their own agendas, whether it be the administration, the district, the teachers union, the classified employees union. You have all these different factions that are all pulling in different directions, and they claim to be pulling toward the same goal, but it's evident at times that whether it's intentional or not, they're pulling in the wrong direction. I, again, this is not a personal attack on any one individual. It's definitely not an attack on any of the teachers, especially specifically. I mean, I'm very happy with most of the teachers that I've dealt with since I've been here. But again, with you've got two unions, you've got the board, you've got the district, and then you've got the parents and the kids. It's just a recipe for I don't want to say disaster, but it's hard to get agreement among all the groups when you have that many groups working in the same environment. And so the recent, what I consider high levels of turnover at the schools, it's troubling to me, and it makes it hard for me to support the bond. And I know I have to separate the two. I want the local funding for the school, and even though I can't stand property taxes, we've made that very clear, it's really, at this point, it's the only option. But if this bond fails, what's next? You know, it's kind of like my comments about the GOP healthcare bill. You know, if this doesn't work, what are we going to do next? You know, Josephine County has been trying to pass I don't know the right wording, but a law enforcement measure for years now, and it keeps going down in flames and keeps going down in flames. At some point, you got to find another way. You know, you can't. What's the definition of insanity? Keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Now, we've only had one bond measure fail, and I'm all supportive of this new bond measure, and I will definitely have people on to talk about it. But if it fails, then what's next? And when are we going to address how everybody seems to know that this turnover problem is a problem? I've talked about it with people. They know it's a problem, but what are we going to do about it? Again, and I think Jamie Wright is doing a fabulous job as the principal. I'm not as familiar with the principal at the elementary school, and I probably should be, but I don't have kids at the elementary school. But it's definitely something I should cover on the show. But I know that Jamie Wright's doing a fabulous job, and she's working very hard. And in fact, as I mentioned, I played her interview again last week because I think it's important to know what's going on with the administration at the school and what kind of goals they have. But this is a problem, I think, that's even bigger than just the principal at the junior senior high school. And it's definitely one that's going to have to be addressed. I'm going to continue to support the bond measure, but I'm going to do it with, you know, with my head and my heart being torn in different directions. And so I hope you'll continue to listen. We'll cover that in future shows. And I want you to make up your mind with all the information. My opinion is good for me, but you have to come up with your own opinions on that. And we'll get into that more. But I just wanted to get that out there because for me, there's a lot more things going on. And I don't want those things. I don't want these negative things to sully the push for the bond measure, but there's no way that they won't. This is a small town. Everybody knows what's going on and they see it. And I just hope that they can come up with some solutions to get it fixed. And again, wherever it involves the school board, I have full faith in them. They're going to do a great job with it, but they're only one entity of many. And I hope that things will improve, and things have improved, but there's still a lot of things that I see that really need to be worked on. So I'm going to run out of time in this segment. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Chieftain mascot issue, so we'll get into that just a little bit in the third segment here. So we'll take a quick break and be back with more. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
with SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. House Speaker Paul Ryan is blaming Republican inflexible hardliners for the collapse of the GOP health care reform bill, which he and President Donald Trump withdrew today. Republicans voted dozens of times during the Obama administration to repeal the law. Ryan calls the stinging defeat a setback, no two ways about it. The measure also drew strong opposition from GOP moderates. President Trump has given his stamp of approval for the long-delayed Keystone XL pipeline. The Trans-Canada pipeline would move Canadian oil to the U.S. Gulf Coast. The president says Keystone will reduce costs and reliance on foreign oil while creating thousands of jobs. Opponents say the project benefits a foreign company that will put oil on the open market. Environmentalists say it's a threat to water sources. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 60 points, the NASDAQ rose 11, the S&P declined 2. Oil up to $47.97 a barrel. This is SRN News.
You're on 94.3 The Bridge. Radio that's worth listening to.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. The Commerce Department says Americans have responded to higher mortgage rates by snapping up new homes in February. The report says new home sales rose 6.1% month over month to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of $592,000. According to the Commerce Department, this is a sign that demand is robust at the start of the spring home buying season. Senior U.S. officials say the Trump administration will approve the Keystone XL pipeline today. Two officials say the State Department will recommend the pipeline is in U.S. interest, clearing the way for the White House to grant a presidential permit to TransCanada to build the $8 billion pipeline. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost over 4 points with business.
Back to Rogue Talk. If you'd like to call in this final segment, that number, 541-299-0498. Once again, 541-299-0498. And if you wanted to had anything to say about the bond measure or what we're about to talk about here, and we just have a few minutes left to do this, the Chieftain mascot, the, of course, as most of you know, the state had, for a while, they had been trying to get rid of the Native American or Indian, if you will. And I say that because the tribe that we're dealing with has the name Indian in the name of their tribal organization. So I don't think they find it offensive if they use it in their name. But anyhow, the I lost my train of thought there. The state first was going to ban all of the Native American mascots, and then they were going to have a way that you could get approval, and then they were leaning back toward banning them altogether. And now we're at the position where if we get the approval of the local tribe or the local tribe that is closest to our area, then we can continue to use the Chieftain mascot. Now, we know that the Chieftain mascot was given to Rogue River High School by the tribe. It was blessed by the tribe to be used That's how it came about. It wasn't just, oh, hey, we need a mascot. Let's pick an Indian name. That wasn't how it happened here in Rogue River. And so for starters, I've always felt it was a little ridiculous for the state to be blanketly doing this in the first place. But, you know, nonetheless, here we are. We're at this point and we have to get approval. And so recently we got a tentative agreement signed, and that's with the Confederated Tribes of Siletz Indians of Oregon. And it's a two-part agreement, and it's tentative. There has to be a final agreement has to be made by July 1st, or the Department of Education will require that we abandon the chieftain mascot, which will be, you know, fairly costly for the school if they had to do that. But in this tentative agreement, it's kind of a two-part agreement. The one part is there, and I like both parts of this. I think it's a good thing going forward. There will be, what do you call it? There'll be some Native American curriculum added to the school's curriculum. And the part of the reason for this is to learn about the local tribes. Most of what we learn in the history books about the Native Americans, or the Indians, as we called them when I was in school, it kind of goes back mostly to the Plains Indians. And that's where we see the headdresses and some of the other things that we learned about the Native Americans when we were in school. And the tribes, you know, the more local tribes to this area were different than the Plains Indians. In fact, we've been asked not to use the headdress as one of the symbols in the chieftain mascot, because they didn't use headdresses in the local tribes here. So we've been happy to oblige them with that. You know, one of the more recent logos had the headdress on the C of the chieftains, and this year we removed that, and the logo is very similar to what it was, just without the headdress. And so I think it's a good thing for there to be some Native American curriculum and related to just the local tribes, and not so much kind of the general thing that we all learned in school. The other part of this is the tribe is given a method of addressing any grievances that they might have related to the use of the mascot. So let's go back to the headdress and just use it as an example. And this hasn't been said, at least not to my knowledge, but we'll just use it as an example. If they've asked us not to use a headdress or not to use an Indian chief type of person, I don't want to say it the wrong way, and we sent someone out at the football games, as we used to do, on a horse, and the person was wearing a headdress, the tribe may take offense to that. They may not like that, and so they would be able to have a method of addressing that grievance. And I think both of these are a good thing. Again, I don't like that the state got involved in this, but we'll try and do the best to make the tribe happy with what we're doing, because we want this mascot to honor the tribes, and that's what it's always done. There may have been some things here and there that probably weren't the most appropriate, but in the most part, I think the community wants to recognize the tribe in a positive light. So we're going to run out of time here. And as I mentioned before, there are no upcoming sports this next week because of spring break. So we'll get into more of that on next week's show. So until then, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.